Bill Barnwell, Kevin Clark, Marcel Louis, Jacques Courtney Cronin. NFL Draft Review. Every pick in order and grades. Let's go! All right, maybe not. Also, what the Wolves did to the Suns, you might call it a sweep. I call it an anthology. And an oven mitt controversy. Three words never said outside of Top Chef. Let's go around the horn. If your sliding gloves can also take out your shakshuka, you might have a problem. You people in your draft grades, you know you can't possibly do it for years and years, but psychologically, you have to. You can't keep it inside. I know you, and I am here for you, but before we get there, this 2024 NFL draft has something not all drafts have. They have a stop traffic moment. A they did what moment? Of course, I'm talking about the Falcons taking Michael Penix Jr. You've had days to digest it, Bill Barnwell. What's up with this pick?
I don't love it, but I believe I can try to understand it from the Falcons' perspective. It makes sense for them, does not make sense for the two quarterbacks they just added over the past month. For the Falcons, if you think Michael Penix is a franchise quarterback for the next decade and he's available at 8, you take him. He's going to be a bigger value than anyone else you can add to your roster in the long term. But this does not serve either of their quarterbacks. For Kirk Cousins, I know Raheem Morris said Kirk doesn't have to look over his shoulder every time he throws a bad pass. That is not true. The first time Kirk Cousins throws a bad pass, there's going to be Penix's chance in Atlanta. The fans, maybe even some people in the locker room are going to want to see Michael Penix play. That is just the reality of having a backup quarterback people want to see. And that is happening before Kirk Cousins has ever thrown a pass for this organization. And from Penix's perspective, he's going to spend 2 years probably on the bench. That's going to cap his earnings early in his career, going to take him longer to get an opportunity for that big second contract maybe, and not get the reps every young quarterback needs. So I don't like it, but I think from the Falcons' perspective, in a vacuum, I think I can try to make sense
of it. All right. Do we play in vacuums? That's what I want to know. Kevin Clark, you're shaking your head. No, we do not play in vacuums. Please, go ahead.
There is no football case for it. There is no analytics case for it. There's no financial case for it. You signed Kirk Cousins to win in 2024 and 2025. Other than that, it was great. You signed Kirk Cousins to win in 2024 and 2025, and then you immediately undermine those 2 years by playing for 2026 and 2027 with the 8th pick in the draft. It's not like this is later in the first round and all your first round grades are gone and all that stuff. No, this was the 8th pick in the draft. You get a defensive playmaker. You get Dallas Turner here. You get the best defensive back in the draft if you wanted him. You could get so many options. I just feel like, first of all, the comparisons of Jordan Love are disingenuous, completely different situation. By the way, offensive head coach in Green Bay who could tutor him for 3 years and get him in the system. And that is not the case in Atlanta. Contract-wise, to give Kirk Cousins that much money and then not tell him, by the way, you have his number. You tampered with him. I know you have his number. To not tell him that you're going to consider a quarterback in the draft. I think that you've really hurt yourself. You've created problems that did not exist. By the time Michael Penix is ready to play, he's going to be very expensive. The rookie contract thing is going to be wasted.
All right. But other than that, how was the Marcel Louis Jacques? It's been days. You've had time to digest it. Can you see what the Falcons are trying to do here?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's hard to see what they're going for here. I'm of the opinion that you cannot overdraft a franchise quarterback. Like, you're not just going to try to get better value. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's say the best value pick in NFL history is Tom Brady. If the Patriots knew what Tom Brady was going to be without an undeniable fact, they would take him in the first round. They would have tried to trade up to take him in the first round. But I digress here. My problem with what the Falcons did, two things. One, it's a conflict in their long-term plan. They want to win now by signing Kirk Cousins, but they're planning for the future by drafting Michael Penix Jr. at 8th overall. I understand trying to act like you are not going to be picking in the top 10 again, but if you're all in, then be all in. That's like laying up with your driver. Either swing the club or grab your 5-iron. My other problem is what Terry Fontenot said after the draft, after picking him, which is he could sit for 4 to 5 years. That is absurd. 4 to 5 years? He's pushing 30. 30 at that point. That's like me going up there and starting. Come on, Terry. No, he's sitting 2 years max, and then you have to reevaluate what you got. And if he's not ready to play by then somebody else is going to make that decision.
Well, in Fondo's mind, they had won a couple of the Super Bowls in between those 4 to 5 years. That's how he's thinking. Is that okay, Cordy Cronin?
It's not, because you have to question their entire process. If you want to win right now, you go get an impact player who can become your first double-digit sack leader since Vic Beasley. They don't have that. They did spend picks in rounds 2 through 4 on the defensive line, but to Kevin Clark's point, you could have gotten Dallas Turner. You could have gotten Liatu Latu. You could have gotten Jared Verse at number 8 instead of reaching for a quarterback who, by the time you're actually going to use him, is going to be 26, 27 years old, a couple years down the line. If you were that concerned about Kirk Cousins' Achilles at his age and being able to come back from that, you don't guarantee him $100 million on a $180 million contract over 4 years. You try to come to a more reasonable figure. And part of this process for the Atlanta Falcons that doesn't make sense is the way that they spent the rest of their draft. This honestly would have been a big fat F if they didn't get a couple defensive line prospects in on day 2 and day 3. But this has nothing to do with Michael Penix and his ability and his potential as an NFL player. This all circles back to a very poor process from top to bottom for the Atlanta Falcons.
There's that video that was in the aftermath, and they're all talking in their little war room there. Did you get the feeling they knew exactly what they were doing in the moment? You guys have all worked the phones. Did they know they were going to make this pick going in when they had only traveled to see him in a short period of time? They actually didn't have guaranteed one of those 30 meetings with Michael Penix. Marcel, quickly.
Yeah, they went to go visit, or they went to his pro day in Washington. I think they went there and didn't even stay overnight, didn't grab dinner, just scouted him and then flew back home. You don't make that cross-country flight Atlanta to Seattle if you are not sure.
Kevin Clark.
Yeah, I think they knew. I mean, there were reports that they could go as high as 8. I think they knew there were a bunch of teams behind 8 that were maybe be interested, including the Raiders. So, yeah, I think they had a plan coming in. I just didn't think anybody thought they'd go through with it.
One of those moments in draft history, you're just like, what just happened? And you find yourself just now, we'll be watching this for this year, the year after, and the year after. It's amazing. Now, some grades, okay? And some winners. I want it from you people. I'm here for you people. We have a tradition on this here program where one of the local reporters has to tell us their team won the draft. Well, Courtney, I look at you then because you're in Chicago. We all know the Bears. They got the number 1 pick and the number 9 pick. It's hard to miss. At least that knee-jerk first-day reaction with Williams Adunze. They drafted a punter later on in this draft, which makes me wonder, do they think they're going to win this year the NFC North? The floor is yours. Did the Bears win the draft, Cordy?
It's hard to argue that they didn't with those two top 10 picks that don't just change the franchise long term. They're here to be impact players right now. There was a moment on Chicago Sports Radio on Friday where Rome Odunze, their number 9 pick, was informed that the all-time franchise career receiving leader is Johnny Morris, who has just about 5,000 yards. He was a flanker. Do you even know what a flanker is, Tony? That was a position in the NFL's back in the 1960s. And Rome was kind of laughing at this, like, no, really, you're here to help change the trajectory of this franchise. And with Caleb Williams in the fold and with this offense the way that it looks today, I wouldn't be surprised if it can morph into a top 10 unit. And I really like the pick of Karan Amegadije, who they chose with their third round pick at 75, the potential to be their starting left tackle.
All right, everybody loves the pick. Talk to me about drafting a punter when maybe a defensive line player, maybe a defensive line would have been a good idea, or offensive line, they drafted a punter. That is from a team that seems to think they're going to win right now, don't you think, Courtney?
No, I absolutely do. I think that's why with their fourth round pick, they went and got the Ray Guy Award winner. It's someone Ryan Poles said is the best punter he's ever seen. And they were able to address that defensive line need in the fifth round. And they're also going to look at some
free agent options. All right, there it is. A tradition unlike any other
one
around the horn. My team won the draft. Let me go to our flanker here on the other side. Bill Bardwell, you're on the flank here on the other side. Please, who won the draft? Was it the Bears? Tell Courtney up. What's up?
It is not the Bears. It is a team that probably could have used a flanker because their offense looked like it was out of the 60s last year. The New York Jets, who were down to third stringers at quarterback, started 13 different offensive linemen last year. They go out and they don't settle for what they did during free agency. They pick Olu Fashanu in the first round, a guy who can be a starting tackle for them week one or be an overqualified swing tackle, knowing they need depth given the players they added, given how many injuries they had last year. They trade up and get Malachi Corley, a slot receiver in the third round. They get an extra third round pick for next year, which is going to help them at the trade deadline if they want to add pieces for Aaron Rodgers. They have a much more complete offense right now than they had a year ago, and that's going to serve them.
All right, Bill Barnwell from Queens, New York, picking the New York Jets as the draft winner. Kevin Clark, who won the draft?
I want to shout out the Commanders. They got some of my favorite players in the draft, but it is the Chicago Bears. No Bears quarterback has thrown for 4,000 yards in history. Do you know how hard that is? Quarterbacks do that accidentally all the time, okay? Nobody who's ever played in a Bears uniform has done it. I guarantee Caleb Williams does it this year. I guarantee
he has three number one receivers.
He is a guy who can work the ball downfield. It's going to happen. Justin Fields was failed by a supporting cast and an offense that did not suit him. That is not going to happen here. There might be offensive line problems. Those will get fixed over the ensuing years, but he will throw the ball downfield early and have success and 4,000 yards.
I give a point then to Cordy Croton. Now Marcel Louis-Jacques, you're going to tell us the Miami Dolphins won the draft. Please, go ahead.
My body was in Miami, but my eyes were on the state of Pennsylvania. I love what the Steelers and the Eagles did. I saw a tweet that said you can't even make the he can't keep getting away with this jokes about Howie Roseman anymore because he continues to keep getting away with it. Quinyon Mitchell at 22 might be the best value in the first round and then double down by getting Cooper DeJean in the second round. Completely rebuilt their defensive secondary with guys who can play right now but don't necessarily have to. I also like Will Shipley's skill set there at running back. And then Pittsburgh, worst offensive line in the league last year. Three offensive linemen.
Oh, you love those offensive line picks. Oh, yeah, yeah. The Steagles are your pick going back to the 19th. Whatever's. Again, any one pick that plummeted. Who lost the draft? Just go around the horn real quick. I love when I ask this. The fans are home. Like, what's up? Bill, who lost the draft?
Raiders, Brock Bowers, not a key position. Already had a guy in there.
Kevin Clark.
Yeah, Vikings did a lot of maneuvering, ended up with J.J. McCarthy, who I don't think will be much better than Kirk Cousins if he's even as
Marcel?
Broncos on the strength or weakness, I guess, of the Bo Nix pick there at 12. The quarterback infatuation is out of control.
Cordy Cronin.
I'm very confused by the 49ers Ricky Pearsall edition.
Taking a break, buy or sell on the other side.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Seaport. Brought to you by Grey Goose.
Let's talk NBA because the Anthony Edwards takeover in round one, punctuated by this dunk, has turned into the anthology of the league right now. First playoff series for Edwards and this Minnesota era. Suns swept out of the playoffs. This would-be super team circling the drain. Kevin Durant at the podium after the game said he was not going to say anything because he knows everything will be viewed as an excuse and he'll just come back better next year. Kevin Clark, was this about the death of the Suns or the rise of the Wolf?
This is about the Suns. When super teams fail, they fail hard. It's going all in when you didn't have the hand you thought you did. They do not control any of their first round picks until 2031. There is no path towards them getting better. And worse, they're not only mediocre, they're not playing with a lot of effort. The T-Wolves rebounded about half of their misses, their own misses yesterday, which means they're just not playing with a lot of effort. Their small ball lineup is not very effective. This is a disaster for Phoenix, and I don't know how it gets
Bill
better.
Barnwell.
This was a team built like a 10-year-old playing 2K. The Suns just got all the scores they could put together on one roster, and that is not working together. Even when those guys were on the court in this series, they did not mesh well, did not have a ball handler. To Kevin's point, they were nearly offensive rebounded 2-1 over the entire series. Yeah. By the Timberwolves. Yes, yes. And they have no money to work with or cash to work with in the years to come. Just a disaster of a team.
No one's been more ready for this moment than Anthony Edwards and the Minnesota Timberwolves to overcome an 82-point explosion from Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. And that moment that we showed the video there, Anthony Edwards with 2 minutes left is dunking over KD. There's a reason that Durant at the podium after the game is saying that Anthony Edwards is his favorite player to watch. His team is ready for the moment. And when they inevitably face the Nuggets in the second round, they will be ready.
Marcelo and Jacques.
A few years ago, the Suns had a deep, young, exciting roster, and they traded all that depth away for a trio that has not worked out. Bradley Beal missed 30 games this year, and you could see that lack of chemistry. They were minus 51, the Suns, when Durant, Booker, and Beal were on the court together, and it gets worse before it gets better. They have $185 million committed to just their starting lineup next season, Tony. It's a dark day in Phoenix, Logan.
Dark for the Suns. We'll move on. Clippers, Mavs. 2-2, which maybe you had going in, but how it got here is fascinating. LA winning the games without Kawhi and Paul George's clutch, but they blew a 31-point lead as Dallas got a masterpiece from Kyrie in the second half, but a slog from Luka. So again, we are split 2-2. Good luck making sense of this, Courtney. What to buy with the sell from this series?
They found a way without Kawhi Leonard, and they're 2-0 in this postseason without him so far. I think a lot of this relies on some good coaching and decisions made by Ty Lue to take Paul George off of Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic so he doesn't get into foul trouble and have him focus on becoming more offensive-minded. And yes, we've clowned on James Harden before for not showing up in the postseason. He did in Game 4, along with Paul George, for 66 points and 15 assists. That was a good
Marcel
comeback.
Hey, life is not what happens to you. It's how you react to it. Yes, they blew the 31-point lead, but they snapped back and still won the game. That's what matters this time of year. And, man, Philly must be looking at James Harden now thinking, "What? Where was this?" Harden's got 20 or more points in all four games this series. He took a lot of flack for saying he's not a system player. He is a system. He looked like a system last
Kevin
night to
Clark.
Me.
Yeah, James Harden is now the first player in NBA history to have 30-point games with five different franchises, which shows you how committed he is to forcing trades. Having said that, this is about the Mavericks and their slow starts and their defense. They played really poorly. I could not believe how they were letting Harden get drive to the lane. He had six floaters in the fourth quarter, which is not typical.
How has nobody brought up the name Luka Doncic yet? Bill Barnwell, to you.
I'm selling that the Clippers really have the Mavericks number here after this. They shot 62% from three. If they can do that for the rest of the series, they're going to be just fine. They're not going to be able to do that for the rest of the
series.
Doncic
on the other side
Luka
of that, though.
And Kyrie is
shooting
the better
in the 20s
combo
from three
of the two.
And has a banged up knee, which we saw, or lower leg, I should say, from game three on, hasn't looked the same. One more story here, Jalen Brunson. He's taking your culpas. He's taking your culpas, mea culpas, all type of culpas. But Kelly Oubre not giving culpas.
34 shots.
Interestingly, yes, 34 shots. He had 47 points. Embiid also, this roller coaster of a series. Had him wondering after the game how Knicks fans took over Philadelphia. Is that what he should be thinking about, Marcel? And what do you buy, what do you sell here?
New Yorkers, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think there's places in the city that take longer to get from A to B than it takes to take a train down to Philadelphia and take a basketball game. But I digress. The Sixers have a fatal flaw, and it's they are going where Joel Embiid goes. He played the entire second half last night for the first time in his career, and he looked like it. 1 point in the fourth quarter on 0-for-5 shooting. But they have to play him. They're plus 38 when he's on the court, plus 34 when he's on the court, minus 38 on the bench. Sitting him outweighs the benefits.
Kevin Clark?
Yeah, I don't know what Embiid is upset about. If this was a team worth rooting for, I'm sure it would be packed with Sixer fans. They are shooting 26% when Embiid is off the court. I understand why Sixers fans aren't showing up. There's nothing to root for.
Obama?
This is about Jalen Brunson taking over and being player in this series. A player who is now becoming one of the best acquisitions made by any team over the past five seasons. No disrespect to Joel Embiid. Again, like Mr. Russell's point, he is being stretched out deeper in games than he needs to be. But Brunson is taking over the series.
And Courtney Cronin.
We've seen 10 years of the process, and this team hasn't gotten out of the conference semifinals. What are you upset about, Joel Embiid? Leave the fans alone.
Thank you, Marcel. Kevin, Courtney Cronin, Bill Barnwell. Showdown. Next.
Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Collapse or comeback is showdown one. Nashville versus Vancouver. Preds up 3-1, 3 minutes to go before Brock Besser goal. And then they were empty netted, and Nashville had a chance to win it, but hit a post out of the empty net. And then Besser again with 8 seconds left to tie it. Then in overtime, Canucks had Lindholm sending everybody home. I ask again, was this a Predators collapse or a Canucks comeback, Courtney?
This was a comeback in every sense. The heroics go to Besser and Lindholm, but the most impressive part was Artur Seelov's in goal, his playoff debut, 27 saves, the third Canucks goalie in this series to win a game.
Bill?
This was a collapse. The Predators gave up 3 goals in 5 minutes, only against 20 shots all game. Yusei Saros is supposed to be a great goalie. How do you have someone wide open in front of the net in overtime for a game-winning goal? Come on.
I'm going to go collapse. Barnwell gets the point. The oven mitt controversy of baseball now, all right? Aaron Judge, when he slid with his hamburger helper bear paw oven mitt slide glove, it broke up a double play that would have ended the inning. The Yankees went on to score 7. So this decided the game. But the umps talked it out, said it was natural, only come back after the game and saying we blew it. Of course that should be interference, only to have Judge come back and say, I always slide like this. It's natural for me, which video kind of corroborated if you went back and looked at some of his previous slides. Bottom line is you have the big slide glove now that can cast a pretty big shadow on his slide. Bill, what's your take on this?
If he doesn't slide, he can stand up and be 6'8", and there's a lot more Aaron Judge than just an oven mitt in the way of those throws. So no, don't incentivize players to stand up. Let them slide.
A lot of players slide into second with their hand up on a double play. Doesn't make it right. And the fact that Aaron Judge says he always does this with or without the oven mitt, leave the oven mitt alone.
Bill Barnwell, 30 seconds of FaceTime.
During the draft this week, Chris Ballard came out in defense of one of his draft picks, A.D. Mitchell, and gave what was called by some a profane rant about the anonymous source industry that leaks into the NFL between free agency and the draft. It is a disaster. The media, myself included, have to be better about what we put out there and where we put it out from, because it's totally unrealistic.
See you tomorrow.